Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Caroline Rose, K Rose Company. First of all, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about K Rose Company and what it is that you do there.
Thank you, Whitney, for having me. I'm Caroline Rose. I am based out of Montana, and K Rose Company is my ag marketing agency and cattle procurement company. So we do everything from websites, logos. We have a full design team, but then we also buy and sell cattle, and including bred cattle. And we really utilize social media and some newer technologies to relate to our customers, a lot of TikToks, and get the market out to our customers, and then work on kind of the full segment. So from calves all the way up to when Seedstock are selling their bulls.
So let's talk markets, kind of dive into that. It's been a wild June here, kind of a wild ride for the last few months, really, in the cattle world. Tell us about some of those numbers and what the drivers are behind. We saw some record highs here. What is creating that that strength there?
Yeah, when we look at the cattle market from a 10,000 foot view, every 10 years, it's a cyclical cycle. It looks pretty similar, right? It's a bell curve. We see the top coming in a 4 or 5, and then at 6, it starts to drop down. And even when we remove all the factors from the 10,000 foot view, it looks the exact same. And so this year kind of caught us off guard because I knew we were headed for an increase. I knew we were going to be on the climb, right? If history repeats itself. And so I expected the markets to increase, and we saw them rally this spring like we have not seen in a long time. And to be honest, it gave me a little bit of nerves because we got pretty high pretty quickly, and I expected that high to come in 2024, 2025. And so I don't know. Of course, I always say if I had a crystal ball, I probably wouldn't be sitting in a sale barn buying calves, but I don't know where we'll see the high, if this is going to be the high and the bell curve's just going to be shifted over to the left a little bit. But we saw lower inventory, which was a huge deal. And it's really interesting because it's the same factors that we talk about every few years, right? Every 10 years, it's these same factors. We had drought, we had low inventory, a lot of people sold heifer calves, and all of a sudden, we just don't have enough cows around. And so it kind of sparks the market. And we really see this rally. We have seen some incredible sales on the video sales so far this summer. Those two video sales, the main two that we've seen, the Superior and the Northern sale, they start to set the market a little bit. A majority of the farmer feeders we work with, they're not ready to start contracting yet, but they are watching the market. And so it looks really promising. The thing that was surprising me is anytime the market gets this high, I expect heifers to be farther back just because steers are, you normally have steers and then you have your heifers 10, 15, 12, somewhere cents back. Sometimes when the market gets a little higher, I expect to be heifers 20 cents back. We didn't see that on the video sale. We saw heifers competing right in there, a lot of them 10, 12, 15, right where they normally are. I thought that was a good sign. I think that there's a lot of opportunity to take advantage and sell calves in July. It's always a risk, right? We know that the summer market's good. Are we going to go into a supply and demand issue this fall where we see the market kind of correct itself? Time will tell, but we know that there is a lot of demand for feeders. Yearlings had a great high price. The one thing that has been surprising to me is the bred market has not kept up with the rally as fast as the calves have. So we have seen an increase in the bred market, just it's not parallel like it normally is.
So do you think a lot of that has to do with still some uncertainty on, weather has been a big story, especially in the big feeding states like Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, things like that. It's been dry there for not just a season, it's been a couple years. And Montana, I think, saw some of that too. Is that one of the big things that's keeping people from wanting to rebuild so quick? Do you think it's age of farmers and ranchers themselves? Do you think it's a trend that we'll see in agriculture just as sort of a whole? Or how do you find those pieces working in?
Yeah, it has been something I've been mulling over a lot because I think there's a couple of factors. I think we can't get away from the interest rate, right? If you have to borrow money on these cattle, they have to make more money. And it sounds really promising because we look at cattle prices right now. But if we think about what happened in 2023 or 2013, right? If you were to start to rebuild the herd then, when we first heard about inventory numbers being a little lower, then in 2015, you had exceptionally high prices, right? I think there's a little caution there. We do not know 100% what it looks like in 2025. And we've also seen the market manipulated with fires, a lot of things out of our control. And so I do think there's a little bit more hesitation. The interest rate certainly affects that. I don't think people were ready to rebuild as quickly. I know there was a lot of brutal winter. And when we come off a brutal winter, it's not necessarily an attitude problem, but it's sort of this like, thank goodness they're all calved and they're out to grass. And when you have that type of feeling, I think it is a little harder to raise your hand and buy some bred cattle. The other thing is, there just wasn't a ton of bred cattle out there. And when I'm talking to my customers, I had a customer call me and say, should I, breed some of these heifers instead of selling them? And my thought is if you have some bred cattle to sell this fall and next spring are going to be a really good time. I think the fall after that, the market's going to be flooded. Everyone's going to get on board. Everyone's going to keep their heifers and breed them and be ready to sell. And so I do think we're going to have this little peak window where we do see the bred market come up a little bit more. And the other thing that I'm always wondering about is the bull sales were exceptional this spring. So most of my customers, I mean, I had customers this year that didn't sell a bull for last year's average. So if last year's average was 4,000, they didn't even sell a bull at 4,000. They sold everything above that. I mean, that's an incredible sale. And so we know that to buy a bull, you had to increase your budget. So I would expect the bread market to come up a little bit. I just think there's a lot of factors at play, and I don't know that it's going to come up as fast. Obviously, we haven't seen it come up as fast as the feeders, but like we did in 2015, where things were easily over two th or $3,000. So I'm not exactly sure, but there are a lot of factors that are affecting that bread market specifically.
You talked a little bit about marketing and getting contracts lined up and things like that, and people maybe not quite ready to do that. But what are some things that producers should be keeping in mind right now, this time of year? Cattle are, like you said, hopefully all calved out and out on grass here this summer. But things that people should be doing to prepare to market those calves here this fall.
We always see a summer high in the market that late July, early August. And so I usually play it safe and recommend that timing to my customers. If you want to sell your calves, if you want a contract, here's a good time. Now, a few things that make me a little nervous when the market gets this high is it's much easier to trade cattle because it, a lot of people, right? The prices seem high. Everyone's like, I'll sell them for that. And so if you're going to sell calves, you have to be very cautious about your contract. You need to have a signed contract. You need to make sure your down payment is sufficient. There are some people that I hear that are getting $25 a head down payment. When your calves are worth $1,700, $25 a head is not going to do anything. If the market shifts a little bit, if we have a black swan event, that $25, they're going to back right out. And so just know that you got to pay a little bit closer attention. Make sure, like in Montana, we have to be licensed and bonded to trade cattle. So look into that, make sure there's some insurance, all of that. And the other thing too is make sure that your contract is very accurate. So whether you sell them on the video or whether you sell them in the country, if your cattle are off by 100 pounds, that does give them permission that you voided the contract and so can they. And most, we have really great customers. We do not have a problem with that because I'm an over communicator when we buy and sell cattle in the country or on the video. I'd rather tell them all the details than get myself in a sticky situation. Not everyone is like that. And so you have to just make sure your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted when you're looking at selling your calves. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, there was a set of calves on the northern video that didn't have their shots. And they almost couldn't get them sold. And so they actually said, we're going to run them back next month and they'll make sure that they can get them shots. And so I thought that that was really interesting because I do hear from a lot of cow-calf producers, my shots aren't bringing a premium. And no, that's the expected now. If they don't have shots, there is going to be a little bit of a discount. The other thing, I think when the market's high like this, if you don't have a load of calves, you have a lot more opportunity. So don't be afraid to call a cattle buyer if you have 20, 30 head, because the name of the game is they're going to start to put some more loads together when the price is like this. It's a little bit easier, right, than when we saw calves for $120. So I think that as a seller, there's a lot of things that are exciting, but there's also some red flags that I think people just need to be cautious of. This is the type of market that a lot of people get taken advantage of. One, because it's either rallying so hard that it could be a 10 cent difference in a couple days. Or two, a lot more people are buying and selling cattle because it seems like everyone's happy on both sides and people can be taken advantage of.
So you talked a little bit about bull sales, genetic sales, production sales, that sort of thing. Talk about the future of those. I mean, this last spring, like you said, was really strong. Where do we see that going moving forward?
I think this fall and next spring will be really strong as well. And I think that because when people sell calves for more money, they reinvest that money, right? So it's this great cycle. I was a little surprised, to be honest, about the prices that we saw this spring. That was kind of the first glimpse of, wow, the market is going to have to go somewhere for these bulls to cost. I mean, some places it was double compared to what they cost the year before, right? And so I think that that really tells, but good genetics always pay. And I think we are seeing people be more creative in their marketing. And I hope everyone listening is starting to see some of those things. We're going a little bit more outside the box and trying some things and really relating to the cow-calf. So it should be really good prices, I think, this fall and this spring. And then just like anything, if we can't get any moisture and we have to shift the cow herd location a little bit, we need to be cautious of that. If that Midwest does not get any moisture, some of those cows are dispersed into other areas. How we market and where the bulls go might shift a little bit as the cow herd moves to different locations.
Anything else we should be discussing here before we let you go?
One of the things that we have looked into personally and utilized is LRPs and livestock risk protection. And this is kind of the first time that I've thought LRPs were a good option for cow-calf producers. And so mostly what I want to remind people is as a cow-calf producer, as a yearling producer, anywhere in that, there are ways now to help mitigate your risk. And I don't sell LRPs or anything like that, but I just had never really found a good option for my customers on the cow-calf side. And besides hedging, which hedging loses the upswing. And on a year like this, you don't want to do that. You don't want to lock in a dollar. So I just want people to know that there are ways, even though the market is good, right? The faster it rallies, the higher the risk. And so there are new ways and new technologies to kind of mitigate that risk. And so I think that is something that people should consider if they're feeling a little uneasy or they're nervous they're going to miss the high. I would recommend that people look into different ways that they can kind of control that risk a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us here this morning. Again, Caroline Rose joining us on the Red River Farm Network.